Looking for a guiding hand in your Amazon business? Wizards of Ecom Academy is here for you. Our personalized support system includes unlimited email access to myself and my entire team to help you overcome challenges and strategize effectively. Sign up for an exclusive rate at wizardsofecom.com/academy. Your personal e-commerce coach awaits.
Welcome back to the Wizards of Amazon podcast, your weekly blueprint for explosive success. I'm Carlos Alvarez, full-time successful Amazon seller and organizer of the largest Amazon seller meetup group in the world. Let's do this. Welcome to the Wizards of Amazon podcast, where we cover all things private label. My name is Carlos Alvarez, and I will be your host for the show. Today, we have a returning guest and a friend of mine, Mito Posavec. Mito, what's up?
Mr. Carlos, I am living the dream up here in sunny Vero Beach, Florida, man.
I love it. Twice in 1 year on the podcast. How's Vero Beach been treating you during this lockdown-ish? Are we still on lockdown here in Florida?
I can't complain. Over here, it's been pretty much, every year ignores the lockdown. We don't have the population density you do down in South Florida. So for us, five cars in a row is a traffic jam. So it's been pretty, you know, my day-to-day life hasn't changed that much since it started. So we're very fortunate that way.
In Miami, we were on lockdown, I think like April, May for like, I don't even know. Like I thought we were on lockdown still. And then I had to go to the office to pick something up. And it was traffic everywhere. Like nothing had changed. So I think I was like one of the few that abided by it in Miami.
Okay.
But good stuff. I'm assuming you're in e-commerce. This is one of the few spots where we could brag about how great business has been this year. Outside of this, you just seem like a jerk.
Well, I got to say, it's kind of hard because our sales have just like exploded over the last year. I'm in the supplement space. I'm in natural health. And our stuff has just exploded. We also do wholesale to customers. So, you know, you talk to people and they're like, oh, COVID, it's really sad. And inside my head, I'm going, yay, COVID, go COVID, right? I mean, yeah, it's been awesome. You know, nothing but gratitude for the virus pandemic. Amen.
So in this episode today, we're going to go over, I think you came up with pretty much this title when we were discussing like how to really frame the episode and that we didn't just ramble on endlessly about Walmart and selling on Walmart, but something about the opportunities on Walmart and what it sort of reminds us of, because I agree with you, of Amazon, you know, I think we're throwing out there like 5-6 years ago. But before doing that, even though you've been on the podcast before, can you share a little bit about, you know, who you are, how you got into e-commerce, Amazon, and Walmart?
Sure. No problem, Carlos. I'm a longtime business guy. I've had business since I was 18 years old. I moved to Florida. I had a chain of check cashing stores. I got into e-commerce kind of by accident. I had a real passion for natural health and natural health products. And I ended up being the North American agent for this one company. And really, like everybody else gets in e-commerce, looks for a product. I had the product first and then was looking for ways to sell it. We had a pretty good wholesale business before selling to doctors and stuff. And then a friend of mine was an amazing seller guy. He was, you got to get on Amazon. I got on Amazon and just exploded from there. And then after Amazon, I got on to Shopify. And I was one of the earliest guys onto Walmart. And one of the reasons I kind of want to touch base with you this year is because last time in a conversation was about 6-7 months ago. Walmart's kind of going up a little bit, down a little bit. And all of a sudden, I don't know what's going on over Walmart, but they just brought their A game and our Walmart numbers have spiked like unbelievable. Before Amazon, Walmart was maybe 5%, maybe 10% of my sales. In the last 2 months, they're 25, 30% of my sales. They've gone from being incidental to being one of my major channels in like almost no time. It's been crazy.
To give some perspective though, like what other sales channel out there, and we're going to throw like Rakuten, eBay, Amazon, Walmart, Shopify. Like if we threw all those together or any that you're on that I'm not mentioning, where would you, like, what would be your top three in order?
My top three would be Amazon, my Shopify channel, then wholesale, And then it was, Walmart, eBay, and a couple just stray stuff that comes in here and there. And in the last 2 months, Walmart has just it's actually exceeded my wholesale business, which I didn't see coming. So all of a sudden, it's become a real channel for me.
So now you're at Amazon, website, Walmart.
Yeah, that's exactly where I'm at. It's Amazon first, our website, and then Walmart.
And selling on Walmart, are you selling marketplace 3P, or do you have a 1P vendor Walmart relationship?
No, we're 3P. We're third party sender, a seller on Walmart.com.
Okay. Why do you think, and let me ask something else though, before we really dive too deep into Walmart, do you feel that your rise of Walmart sales have been additional sales to what you were already getting on Amazon? Or did you notice that it was really cannibalizing some of the sales that you were getting on Amazon?
Well, overall, we've had an increase in sales across all our platforms, right? Because of the business that we're in and that we're in supplements and stuff. And that, so I don't think there's been any cannibalization at all. One of the things that kind of struck me was the fact that 40% of Walmart.com buyers, the customers, have never bought on the internet before. Something that happened a lot in the Amazon, when I went to the Amazon conferences held by Amazon, was they're like, we're about building trust. And I think the reason that Amazon is so concerned and aware of Walmart as a competitor, because Walmart also has that trust relationship with their customers. People like Walmart really like Walmart. I don't know how it is down there, but where I live, Walmart kind of sucks. It's sketchy. The people are rude. Place is a mess. I don't know. Maybe people are having a different magical experience from Walmart than what I'm getting, but I'm like, blah. But, you know.
I couldn't agree with you more. My wife and I, we have, Publix is our spot to go mostly for our groceries. And that's where we go. We have a Sedanos, we have Publix, we have Presidente, we have all this stuff down here. But Publix is our go-to. Now, the only reason for that is because we could walk to one. If we could walk to a Walmart, we would shop there. I mean, it's better prices, same quality food. But I agree with you. There's this stereotype or this stigma that when I go in there, I'm there because I can't afford to go somewhere else, or I'm buying, I need to buy cheap, or I'm cheap. And then, yeah, at midnight at Walmart, you go in there, it's a different world in those stores. So I think I was concerned that they would suffer with the same thing I think eBay sort of suffered with. This whole thing, if you ask someone what do they sell more of on eBay, auctions or buy it now? Everyone's like auctions. And that's something they haven't been able to break away from. So curious whether Walmart's going to be able to break away from that stereotype. Because Amazon's you're in a private club. You're VIP, you buy Amazon, you're elite.
Right.
I feel like that's what comes with Amazon.
Right. No, I found... I also found, for those of you that are not on Walmart, and you're on Walmart, and they're clunky, their software's clunky, their customer service, if they took some stone guy out of the back of the warehouse, and they put a headset on him, and now he's our customer service support software guy. I mean, it's been really hard. I've almost given up on the platform 5 times. I was banned on it once for 4 months for poor shipping performance because the software didn't update the shipping numbers in time. It was just... if you go on the Walmart, if you go into the Walmart groups on Facebook, everybody's just complaining. Walmart sucks. Walmart does this. One thing I think is interesting that Walmart is doing right, and everybody complains about it, is they're giving the customer refunds without asking any questions. Now, our policy generally is we'll refund the customer. I'm in supplements. I can afford, I can afford to eat the cost of the product, right? I always give a refund. People, a year later, I bought this a year ago and never used it. Here's a refund. Thank you for buying. That's our policy anyway, right? But I think what these sellers don't understand is that Walmart is still trying to build that trust up. So they're giving people the refund. They're siding on the customers on the refund side. Everybody's complaining about it. But I think it's a brilliant move because they're building that trust with the customer. You know what I mean? I think that's really one of the smart things that they're doing.
Yeah, I can see that. I could see customers would want to shop more on Walmart because it's seamless if they have an issue with the product. As a seller, though, that's never going to go away. I have a good friend of mine Ramon, you know, Ramon, a good friend of mine, Ramon just, you know, for a while he sold in the, you know, apparel space with a ridiculously high, return rate. So somebody buys a pair of shoes, they just get it so they can go out for the night and they return it. On the seller side, you're just pissed.
Right. Yeah. Our return rates are really low. In general, off the website, they're almost nothing. Like if someone say it didn't work, I'll give them a refund. I do find our returns are about double on Walmart than they are on Amazon. And I think that's just more from the customer standpoint. But in terms of the opportunity, about 6 months ago, we started working more hard. I'm sorry for my terrible grammar today. We worked more on product images, integration into the Walmart system. We're using CED Commerce, super clunky, so hard to update photos. So we made a real effort, you know, basic stuff, upgrade the photos, get the descriptions lining up. We have a couple of Facebook groups, and we work with our customers, our past customers saying, hey, look, if you buy in Walmart and give us a review, we'll give you, you know, free product and stuff. So we're able to populate and get some reviews up. And that has translated into a huge improvement in our sales numbers there. We also started the pay-per-click program. Before we got on, we talked about there's a software package on the pay-per-click. I have a contract that does my Amazon pay-per-click, and the guy is just a machine. So he's doing that for us. He's uploading the spreadsheets and downloading them, doing whatever he does to them. I don't touch that part of it. I think there's only so much that I can be an expert in. So I hand that over. Right now, our ad spend on Walmart is $1,600, and we got $1,800 in sales. That's actually an improvement because last month we spent $3,000 and we got $1,400 in sales. So we're starting to dig into what keywords are working and stuff. And, you know, what's so telling is that, you know, you've got the same products being sold and the keywords that work on different platforms are completely different. But I do think that Walmart is, based on the trajectory we've had over the last 2 months, it may actually equal or pass Amazon for us by probably March or April.
Yeah, that's really what I'm seeing as well. And last week I was interviewing Sergio and Paul from .com Partners and their ex heads of department buyers from Walmart. And apparently they stuck together and they formed an agency, really, really good group of people. But we were diving pretty deep into listing quality score and how that it's crazy how like the different ways it impacts. So having a listing, I learned this, I didn't know, but having a listing on Walmart, even if it's not live, that is not optimized, will negatively impact your listing quality score. So they're making a huge push right now and giving a ton of weight to optimizing your listing, updating your listing, getting those reviews. Like it will make a noticeable difference, as I think that's what you're saying now that you notice. Like you actually went in there and you fixed that stuff.
Right. And again, we have 400 products. So, you know, it's more of a journey than it is like a 1 week project, right?
No, absolutely. Especially they don't have a good system when it comes to like bulk upload changes. Right. Getting into this next part, are you yet using Walmart fulfillment services?
That's actually, it's interesting. We were approved for that about a month ago and we are in the process right now. We just went live with them about 2 weeks ago and we actually have some shipments that are going from Walmart fulfillment. And we have a ton of stock going in there over the next probably 2 weeks. We have a ton of stuff. We have like 30,000 units going in. I'm really excited about that as well. I had my numbers, I had my staff crunch the numbers, and Walmart charges a flat 75 cents per cubic foot of storage, right? Amazon is 60 cents, except for Q4 when they jack it to 240. So annualized, the Amazon fee is about $1.12 per cubic foot versus 75 cents on Walmart. So our average, our most popular items are $38.99, right? So our Amazon revenue, this is exclusive of PPC and storage, is $29.02. On Walmart, it's $29.69. So we get another 67 cents of additional revenue on the same product sale from Walmart as opposed to Amazon.
That's crazy. And January, if I'm not mistaken, for you, January is like your Q4. Yeah. Like,
oh, absolutely. Like usually in December, we have a slowdown because people are buying Christmas presents and stuff, but we've had such a good build up, and you know, it's all an evolution. We've been improving our packaging, improving our processes, increasing quality. Like we sell in plastic bottles. Now we're selling in glass bottles. Now we put the glass bottles into a box, and we also put it into a bubble envelope, so it's got that double production in there. So, you know, I always tell people that are starting, like, it's the little stuff that really, it's incremental improvements. Like, I'd love it if I had some brilliant idea and it just transforms the company, but it's like the death of a thousand cuts. You do a little bit better here, a little bit better there, and that's really where you see the big results.
So Walmart Fulfillment Services, you haven't reaped the rewards from that yet. You just started pulling the trigger on it and you have stuff arriving.
Right. Now, my beef with using, I know some people on the street using Deliver. And again, in the Walmart communities, everybody's been whining about Deliver. We have a third-party warehouse we use here in Melbourne, Florida. And they've been great. And we're sending stuff, you know, FedEx.
You want to plug them? I mean, everyone's always looking for centers. Or you want to keep this hidden gem to yourself?
No, I can give it. But these guys are small and they're not tech savvy at all. I mean, these guys are.
Oh, we went from amazing, best thing in the world. Now you're
No. No, they're great for me because I don't know if I told you, but last year in this 2020, I had a fulfillment warehouse in Utah that worked great for me. Then they had a fire. So I've had stuff stuck in there for like a year because of this fire and insurance purposes. So now I said, if I next fulfillment warehouse I get, all I want is somebody close. So I can jump in the car and drive there in half an hour, right? So these guys are good. Now we'll share. It's Archive Management Solutions in Melbourne, Florida. They're really good. They're a real small outfit. And it's good for us too because we're probably one of the biggest customers. So we get some good treatment over there. But I love the fact that I can, you know, if I'm short of stock, I can fill up a truck with one of my people, say, go drop it off. And the next day that product's back up and live. And that's been tremendously powerful for me. So back to the warehouse, the question was Walmart. Like we would send stuff second day FedEx and Walmart would mark it as late, right? So our on-time delivery rate was like not even 70%, sometimes low as 20%. We were doing what we had to do, but because of the importation or whatever, how the data works, is we weren't getting the credit for that. So what I'm hoping for is by using Walmart's own fulfillment services, that order defect rate goes way down and that'll also increase our standings in the rankings.
Yeah, it'll have a direct impact on your listing quality score. So, yeah.
Exactly. I mean, that's how we do it with Amazon. I mean, you can't – like we have a lot of stuff we sell through Amazon, and you can't compete with them. I mean, people in a larger market will order our stuff in the morning and have it later in the day. I mean, I can't touch that.
Yeah, the breakdown here for listing quality score from .com partners on the back end is what drives it. Three heaviest weights, content and discoverability. So your product's live or not. And
right.
Quality of the content. The second biggest weight is in stock and transactable. So
right.
Yeah, so just having that in stock more is going to be a huge help.
Yeah, absolutely. I think having the facility now, our logistical issue is we have warehouse, we have FBA, we have our own warehouse here, and we also have this Walmart. I call it Walmart FBA. But it's called Walmart Fulfillment Advisors,
WFS, Walmart Fulfillment Services. That's what I call it, Walmart FBA.
You know, I think two bad words will fit in there, and you know, but I'll keep it PG here. But I think, you know, back to our introductory topic was, I think Walmart really is the next big opportunity. I mean, we were fortunate that Walmart approached us for the approval. I heard that if you sign up certain software vendors, they'll walk into the back door and get you signed up. But I think absolutely it's a huge opportunity. Amazon is really saturated. I mean, obviously it's a growing opportunity, but I think it's a tricky thing to work with because, you know, they're changing the rules all the time. One thing I wanted to mention on here that's been, I don't know if it's going to impact other people's businesses, but I'm in supplements, right? And I sell remedies. And what happens is every time there's a word that Amazon doesn't like for any of our products. So let's call it arthritis, right? Amazon will go in there and take off every arthritis product we have and just cancel it out, right? So those products go dead. I have to go back in there, rewrite the descriptions, and do all the stuff. Like, even if the stuff is within FDA guidelines, Amazon plays it super, super conservative. And we have not had that issue on Walmart at all. I don't think they're there yet, but it's been great because we put stuff on and, you know, as long as we're not like, you know, saying, hey, we're going to cure cancer and everything else, we're able to better communicate what the products are for, if that makes any sense. Carlos, you're muted right now.
Oh, that was the dogs going wild. Thank you. Okay, that makes a ton of sense.
So that ability to keep products live and do that, that has a lot of value for us because I actually have one of my full-time VAs. Her job is just to go into Amazon every morning and see if they shut something off, why they shut it off. And it's hard too because if you have a lot of products, you're not watching it. We had our number two selling product sells for, you know, $699 go offline for like a week before somebody noticed. Like, hey, why isn't this selling? Oh, wait, Amazon took it off. And they take stuff off for random reasons too.
Yeah, no, it's nuts. As a matter of fact, you could just buy software nowadays. I could just go in and bulk upload these keywords into your competitor's listings and then you get snagged.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. What do you think, Carlos? You think Walmart's the next Amazon? What are you thinking?
I don't think they're the next Amazon, and it's not out of some sense of loyalty to Amazon, because Lord knows they're not on my side. But
right.
I mean, steps in the right direction, definitely. I think every major player needs to move towards two-day shipping. Two-day, you know, free shipping on some kind of subscription model. I think Amazon's done a great job of training people to sort of expect that. I do believe Walmart's going to struggle with, like, let me back up. So I feel that the majority of people that shop on Amazon do not shop on Amazon because they're looking for the best deals. If you just shop a lot online, you know that Amazon normally never has the best deal. Like, There's websites, there's eBay, there's like everywhere else, it seems like it has the better price
deal. Right, I agree with that. Yeah, absolutely.
So they're not the cheapest. But I feel like a lot of the other players are trying to compete on those terms. Amazon being so customer-centric is, I think, one of the major drivers there. Prime, everything that goes into Prime. Having said that, I wish, or I hope, Walmart and, you know, one or two other platforms, Walmart seeming like they have the best opportunity here, do make a strong run towards Amazon or surpass Amazon. So it's only going to be better for us.
Right. And I agree. And one of the things that, you know, I have a couple of people that I've kind of brought into the online business and stuff. And what I tell them is, hey, look, it's awesome that you're doing great on Amazon and I'm happy for you, but I don't trust them for a minute. You know,
Oh, absolutely not. Yeah. I mean, they are totally in it for them. And I don't see that in a bad, I don't think that's a bad thing. It's just something you should be aware of. Like, if it was my website, that's what I would do.
No, absolutely. And I always tell people, I say, you know, you are a guest in that platform, you know, and if you forget that and think, oh, I have rights here. No, you don't. You are a guest. You're allowed to sell on there. I don't know how some of these guys that have like thinner margins, I don't know how they do it. Like, every time it seems Amazon's raising PPC rates, like, there's always that little bit of nickel and dime that goes on. It's an almost like a, you know, little bit of a grind every time. If you have a product with low margins, I don't know how you're doing it. I was talking to a guy. He's bringing backpacks of us, you know, that were all recycled material. He was paying $15 and trying to sell them for $40 on Amazon. And I just cringed. I'm like, dude, you're gonna lose your shirt. Like, there's no way you can make that work. And it was a competitive category. Lots of competitors out there doing the same product for like $25. I'm like, dude, you can't do it.
Absolutely not. After fees, he's not even left with much to run ads, much to, you know, do any kind of marketing. So no. Well, you definitely have the advantage there in supplements. You guys just work with great margins, but you also have much higher, you know, PPC costs.
Yeah, our PPC is high. I mean, I'm very fortunate that I address a lot of really small niches. So in my little niches, I don't have really, in some of my categories, I have no competition. And even the product it's not a huge market. For me, if I sell, 30, 40 of an item a month, that product's a winner for me because it spreads my risk out.
Yeah, and you have a massive catalog, so that works. That's sort of my approach with Merch by Amazon. But let me ask you something. Let's talk a little bit about PPC. Where do you feel like advertising and pay-per-click advertising on Walmart is now versus, because we're trying to compare kind of 6 years ago on Amazon. I think they're maybe further back than 6 years to where they currently are now. But what are your takes there?
I don't have enough information yet, to be honest with you, Carlos. I mean, right now I find my ROAS, rate of return, the term that you're using now on Google and using on Amazon too, between Google AdWords and Amazon, I'm running with the same percentages. On Amazon, we haven't really refined our keywords yet. We're still kind of hunting and pecking at it. So I don't have enough information to comment on that intelligently. I'm hoping it's going to be a better opportunity because I'm seeing the Amazon pay-per-click just keeps creeping up and up and up, especially in some of our more competitive categories. I don't even advertise probably half my products because just the keywords are just stupid expensive.
Sure. Something I've noticed, because I do run ads on both of them, I've noticed that you get a much bigger bump or like jump in page position and search on Walmart for the conversion on an ad than you do on Amazon.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. So like something like that might take me, well, I mean, talking in terms I think everyone kind of looks at, which is, 40 sales a day for 8 days, yada, yada, yada type of thing. But I find that the same product, I might only, like say I needed to do 40 sales a day for 8 days, those equivalent sales through PPC on Walmart are really like six. Six solid sales a day through ads on Walmart, and I'll rank number one for the same product, same keyword, if that makes sense. So it does seem like it has a lot more power on the ad side versus Amazon. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you've been following any of the information out there about, there's a great podcast episode by DataHawk about the A11, I guess we're calling it the A11 algorithm, and how Amazon would be giving less weight to PPC sales actually than more. So it's funny they're going in the opposite direction there.
Wow. That'll encourage ad spend.
Yeah, absolutely. It looks like they're prioritizing external traffic as the highest, which is really no huge shock. And your ads on Walmart, though, are you running them direct, or are you using an agency or a specific tool like Perpetua or?
No, I'm using. I have a pay-per-click guy, and they run all my Amazon pay-per-click, and they run my Walmart pay-per-click.
Okay, cool.
Now, one thing I kind of, my strategy is really, I'm using, because our products are, a lot of them are kind of long-term products. We get a lot of repeat business. I'm really seeing Amazon and Walmart as customer acquisition tools, because the better I do on these other platforms, the more people come to my website. Every one of my products has the website on the label, on the bottle, on the packaging. And we really kind of make sure that the customers can find us, because certain products will get taken off of Amazon on a regular basis. And I think that's really important. I mean, in terms of in my own head, I'm trying to establish that, hey, this customer, if they can't find us on Amazon, they'll go online and try to find it on my website or wherever else. So I think that's really important for me because I want that customer.
Sure. So if somebody bought the product, they have it, they ran out, and then they, they have the product in their hand, they know to go to your website. But do you feel that many people are going over to Amazon, seeing your product, and it's like, no, I'm not going to check out here with Prime. Let me go to the website. I'm assuming you're not delivering it in 2 days.
I am, actually.
Nice.
Yeah, we do. I've gone back and forth on it. I used to have a shipping option with the USPS. And what happened was people have an expectation that if the products are there in 2 days, there's something wrong, right? So I jacked up my prices a little bit. And now we just only send by FedEx second day. We just send it out. And that has limited like 85, 90% of our customer service. People, where's my stuff? No problem, dude. It's on the way.
So FedEx or Priority Mail?
FedEx.
You avoided USPS during this crazy time.
It's been hard because, you know, they just haven't been as reliable. No, FedEx screws stuff up too, right? But there's a certain, like I love it when someone says, oh, you know, I'm missing a bottle of my order. I was like, oh, we'll send to you by FedEx. Oh, you don't have to do that. No. We got you. Right? And it creates that goodwill with people. And, you know, again, you know, we have room in the product. And it was a tough choice because, yeah, it added a lot to my shipping costs. Instead of $3, I'm spending $8. But I think overall, customers having a better experience. And overall, that's what it is. That's why we're so gracious with our return policy and refunds and that kind of stuff. So it's like, you know, we want to help people find, because I'll have 3 or 4 products for the same health issue. So if someone says, hey, that didn't work, we'll get on the phone and say, look, if that didn't work, we're going to send you a product B and C and see if one of those helps you. Because if I can get that customer in as a customer for life, I got them.
Sure. Well, let's talk a little bit about strategies as far as across both platforms. Are you at a point now with Walmart, because you're established on Amazon, that you look at seasonal promotions and, you know, make sure that they're uniform across both channels? So if you're going to do a 20% off coupon on one, that you're, you know, doing some form of equivalent on the other?
No, I'm not that organized. We run specials here and there. We do most of our specials really on the website. We run a newsletter and an email blast, and that works really well. I have some communities that I participate in Facebook, and we offer special discounts to those communities. We have a few of these natural mom groups that we kind of baby a little bit because they give us the ability to help launch new products. And if I need a bunch of reviews, I can kind of go in this community and say, hey guys, I need your help. I'm always giving them like big discounts and free stuff. So, you know, one hand washes the other in these communities.
And this year, well, we're recording this now in the end of 2020, but 2021 is when everyone's going to be listening to this. So this year, 2021, what's going to be your main priority as it pertains to Walmart?
Our main priority in Walmart, we have two big goals over the next few weeks and actually for the rest of the year. Number one, listing quality. Number two, getting our stock populated within the Walmart fulfillment centers. That's really what we want to do. We're transferring a ton of inventory over to Walmart. And again, you know, you guys all know sellers, logistics is tough, and logistics over 400 SKUs is also tough. We also had issues with getting supplies because of COVID and everything else. So, you know, our back end has been scrambling to keep up to what the front end's been doing. So, yeah, I think it's just a matter of catching up with that and doing that. I really do think our sales for 2021 are going to really, like, we're really in a good spot to jump based on what we see happening in Walmart and Amazon, and the website as well has been very strong.
Nice, Mito. To be respectful of your time, is there anything regarding listing quality score that you want to share before we start wrapping this up?
Yeah. When you make change to the listing quality, it'll give you a percentage score and you think, wow, this is great. And then you come back 2 days later and the score is dropped by some undetermined factor. And, you know, some of that is the shipping speed and other stuff. So the biggest thing I can tell people, just keep going through there and on an evolutionary basis, keep trying to make the listings better and make the products better and more available.
And what do you think has the biggest impact on the listing that you can actually affect?
The listing has to be complete. You know, use all the pictures in there. Like, do what you can to make a complete listing that makes sense.
So, sounds good. Mito, how can people reach out to you to ask any questions about Walmart? I'm hoping after this, you'll send me a few of those links to these Walmart communities you talked about too, because I wanted to dive into that, but I thought we would just rabbit hole into a lot of stuff.
There's a couple of them. They're all, you know, they're all just complaining about the return policy. That's what they're doing. Oh, and Walmart doesn't pay you regularly either.
What? Well, no, explain that. I can't let you go without that. Let's talk about pay.
No. What happens is when I first started with them, they'd miss a week or two, right? They send me an email. Oh, yeah, we forgot to pay you this week. We'll pay you next week. What? And now, oh, yeah. And then what's happening to the new sellers, actually this is important, is if you're a new seller, they will actually hold 2 or 3 or sometimes 4 weeks of the disbursements to kind of let you get caught up in the wholesome insecurity, but they don't tell you, right? So people are like, hey, I sold 10 grand at Walmart and there's no money coming, right? Like, they are not good communicators. But absolutely, Walmart is very early in this, and that gives you a lot of opportunity for stuff like, you know, getting reviews, building up the traffic, you know, getting the ranking. So I do think it is an opportunity right now for a lot of people.
I love it, man. And how can people reach out to you to ask any questions about Walmart?
You can find me on Facebook, Miro, M-I-R-O, Posavec, P-O-S-A-V-E-C. There's not a lot of them. And I think, you know, with my hairstyle, it's a little bit distinctive. But yeah, I'm available. I'll talk to anybody. I have no friends. So that's cool.
For those of you only listening to the audio of this, his reference to his hair, he has a full head of blonde hair.
Yeah, absolutely.
You had the Mr. Clean look going on. So yeah, now it's also in the Wizards of Amazon Facebook group. I don't know if you're in our Telegram chat group. Are you in the Telegram chat group, Mito?
I don't think so, no.
We got to fix that. So, All right. So people can find you on Facebook. Before letting you go, you escaped last time we recorded. I didn't get to ask you this, but what is your favorite book and why?
My favorite book is A Man for All Seasons. It's actually a play by Robert Blake, and it's about this guy Thomas, who was in King Henry VIII's court. And it's a really story about a guy that would not bow down and give up his principles. I like the book for me personally because it said, hey, you know what? If all else fails, just be really, really, really stubborn and persistent.
I've not read the book. What would you say? It's a business book or
no? It's a play.
It's a play. Okay.
It's a play. A Man for All Seasons. It's a like
by Robert Bolt. Pages.
Yep.
Okay.
And no, I'm 70 pages. It's not even big, but it's the guy's a hard head and he's smart, which I liked.
I wonder. Knowing you, I'm like, okay, I get it now. All right. So thank you so much for your time, man. If we don't talk before the new year, happy new year, happy holidays, all that good stuff. And I look forward to having you back on the show again in 2021.
Thanks, Carlos. It's been fun, man. You take care out there.
Liked what you heard and want to stay connected? Join our Facebook group or find me anywhere on social media at Wizards of Amazon or text the word Amazon to 69922.